We're back. We're here in the beautiful city of Gold Coast. Is it the city of Gold Coast?
It is the city of, maybe it's the Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast in Australia. It is beautiful here. Mm-hmm. I have the privilege of walking around Surfer's Paradise, and the beach looks amazing.
We do nice beaches really well.
Yeah, well done.
And we do good conferences.
Well, good conferences. Are you from Gold Coast?
I'm from Brisbane down the road.
Oh, it's an hour north, right?
An hour north, but I'd like to live here.
Well, you could just drive down whenever you want, though, right?
I've done that for a while, and it's a killer.
You should just move, man.
I'll talk to the boss.
Just talk to the boss, get an extra room.
Office
I'll
on the phone, beach.
I'll ring every once in a while, and I'll come down, we can hang out.
We should definitely do it.
So I have Duncan and Adam. Why don't you introduce yourselves? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah, my name's Duncan. I work for SSW. We're a .NET consulting shop in Australia, and we make software for kind of medium to large businesses, and we do a lot of teaching and a lot of kind of advocacy work in the .NET and Angular space.
Awesome. Adam?
So I've got, you know, we kind of do a bit of everything at SSW. We've got, you know, SharePoint guys and, you know, everything from, you know, network guys, SharePoint guys, TV guys, but I really focus on enterprise web.
Okay.
So I've had a really fun kind of last 18 months doing .NET Core since Beta 2 and
nice.
Angular since it was Alpha 4 in production. So I've had a really fun 18 months and now life's easy because everything's RTM'd.
Nice. All I know is that .NET Core, when it wasn't RTM, there was some bumps.
Look, it was awesome because we had customers that we've worked with for many years who trusted us, and we kind of said, you know, this is the way we are going to go, and they said, well, let's go now, and it was stable enough to build for production as we went along. There was a few humps as things changed,
sure.
And that was the same with Angular 2, but we loved it then, and you know, we're really loving it now. Mm, super
that's
exciting.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the stack that we're going to talk about today. It's mm-hmm. is Angular.
Yeah.
But before we get there, I believe did you bring me some donuts, Larry?
Yes.
He's bringing them over.
There's donuts.
They had a no joke. They had a cart five high of donuts everywhere, and I told Larry to bring us some. Hopefully he's getting them ready right now. I'm pretty excited about this. Oh, here we go.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Now we're talking.
Oh,
thank you.
Now,
this
oh
is
my
great.
Goodness.
I've never had donuts in an interview before.
Like, yeah. Never.
This show is the best.
All right, we're going to put these right here, and we're going to sniff them the whole time.
Yeah.
Let's see how distracting it is for you guys. So the question for you is, why would I choose Angular over something like Vue, over something like Aurelia, over something like React, now Preact as well? Why would I use Angular?
I think Angular is the smart enterprise choice. That's kind of how we summarize it. If you've got a team or teams of devs, especially if they're coming from like a .NET or a Java background, they'll be very comfortable with TypeScript, and we find that that is a nice fit in that space. I think over some, like, there's a lot of kind of ceremony with Angular, and I think that kind of works really well in that sort of space, whereas something like Vue.js might be kind of much smaller and simpler, but doesn't have as much kind of ceremony and as much prescription. Mm-hmm. And same maybe with Angular, same as React, but Angular is very prescriptive and very much kind of like a way of doing things. So across a team, it's a really good way to get consistency.
So when let me see if I understand, and you were going to say something, but is it because the more people that work on it, the better it is if there is a prescriptive way to do it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a factor in that. There is, you know, the Angular style guide is very prescriptive, and this is the way we think you should do it. And we think everyone should use we think people starting out should use the Angular CLI, and that kind of scaffolds you out an application that kind of leads you into the pit of success.
Okay.
But personally, I think there's just a couple of other things that I think it's great at, and the performance is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's Angular 1, there's definite performance issues, but Angular 2, the performance is awesome because there's a whole bunch of things, but you know, particularly the ahead of time compilation, we're getting, you know, really, really fast performance on really large complex websites and also running great on mobile devices. But my favorite reason for using it is the productivity. So, you know, we're consultants and we go in and we build software for clients and they pay us by the hour. And like on all of my teams, the guys are liking it because they're shipping features faster. Mm-hmm. And from a like from a management, from a client point of view, I think that's almost the most important thing.
And that's an interesting thing, right? Because I love talking to people that write stuff, right? I write demoware, right? I go up and, and I do slides and I make code that works, right? And everyone's like, ooh. But you actually, you're where the rubber sort of meets the road. Have you seen productivity gains in Angular that maybe you wouldn't see otherwise? Where are those productivity gains?
I love the story of, because we're a .NET shop and we've done MVC since, so MVC in production since MVC 2.
Okay.
And when we started doing Angular, now our guys would do just the little bit of the front end that had to be really responsive that the customer cared about in Angular. And then they got better at it, and then we were building the customer part in Angular and all the back end in MVC because no one cared about it. It was just forms.
Right.
But so just I think it's a testament to the productivity now is that the guys just, they build it all in Angular because it's faster to build it all in Angular than any other way. And I think that's, you know, I think that's a really good way of saying how good it is.
So we're talking about back end because obviously Angular is a client-side application that's running in the browser. Mm-hmm. But then every once in a while there's this boundary that needs to be crossed to get data from the server. What does that backend look like? Is it all web API? Is it all Node.js? What is your prescription for that?
Well, for us, we definitely like to see people have a separation there. I think it just gives people more kind of flexibility down the road. Be your backend being an API in whatever you want. So we do a lot of C#, so we'll have an API in .NET, but if it was in Node or whatever you want to have it in, that's definitely kind of the prescription we see as being the happy path to separate the two so that you don't have them tied together.
I see.
And we kind of, so one of the tips for people getting into Angular 2, I think, is that as .NET guys, as they go and they start doing Angular 2 in Visual Studio, and we've actually kind of got a bit of a tip for people is that Visual Studio Code is amazing for Angular 2.
I see.
So I know on all of our teams, we actually run a completely separate project in Visual Studio Code for the Angular 2, and then we run Visual Studio for our web API. And we find that's a really nice way of working.
Because then it creates that separation, which makes them two different applications. And you kind of want that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you were creating a good API, you're going to be agnostic to the type of client that we'll be using. Because eventually, maybe you're going to do a Xamarin application, for example, and that API should still work.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think it can make it easier for the team. Like when you open an application and your Solution Explorer is just exploding with files, whereas if you're handing it to a designer or you've just got a front-end dev, they're very comfortable to open up and they see the structure and they get everything that's there. But when you put the API with it, they might not necessarily feel as comfortable if it's all in this huge folder system. So,
all right, well, I thought hopefully you would show us something. Yep. I was hoping that you would sort of tell us about the command line interface, why you should always start with that. Because look, between us girls kind of thing, I actually tried to start an Angular application by just typing it. I went to the Tour of Heroes thing. And I started just typing things in, and I felt like this is a lot of ceremony for just starting. Show us how the command line interface sort of helps this a little bit.
Okay, well, before we jump in, I guess it's interesting to think, like, the whole story of front-end web has changed, so we now need a module loader. You know, we kind of have, I think it's something like 47,000 files when you install a brand new application with Angular 2 using the CLI. So you obviously don't want to put all 47,000 files down in the browser. You have to be able to pull the files that you want out. And so having a tool and a module bundler that can understand that becomes really important. And then building that build chain that does all that can become really cumbersome. So as you'll see with a few lines in the terminal, you can get all of that for free.
This brings up an interesting question, right? Because I always thought when I'm doing these Angular applications, like there's some process that happens, it bundles and minifies everything, and that's already gonna be downloaded every time. Yep. That's not the case anymore.
No, so now you've got the opportunity to do code splitting. So now you can decide based on setting up Angular modules, which are proprietary kind of modules for Angular, and you go, okay, here's a section of code that I wanna specify all its dependencies, and then you can route to that module. And that means that that module will be bundled separately from the other code, so you can now effectively only download the code you need when you route to that section of the application.
So it's a separate payload that's been bundled and minified that you pull only when you need it.
Exactly.
Because there might be part of an application, and if you have some client-side analytics, you'll be able to know when certain things are loaded. You can minify effectively the application to the minimum required to download, and then you can pull everything in as modules.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, let's see how this works.
Okay, cool. So
let's get you to log in here.
We'll log in here. So I've just got a terminal open, and I've already installed the Angular CLI, so we can go and have a look at the version. Everything hangs off ng is the command.
So that's a command to do with anything.
Yeah, to do anything. So I've already come in and done an npm install of at angular/CLI here.
Got it.
So I've already done this. So I can come in and create a new application and just go ng new here, and that means I want a new application. And then I just give it a name. So I could call it channel 9. This is one that I've already done, and then I push enter, and it would run, and it would go and install all the packages we need and scaffold out an application that we need, and
awesome.
That's it. So once we've done that, which I've already gone and done, then we could open up Visual Studio Code
here. Ooh, you've got the green one. That's like the daily build, right?
Yeah, the daily build.
Wow, look at you.
So it's really stable.
Is it?
Yeah. It's super stable.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, I need to go to the green build. I feel like I'm behind you guys.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And they ship a handshake, secret handshake. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. Oh. I need to shake the hand. Okay, got it. So this is the daily build. This is what would be produced after you do ng new.
Yeah.
Right? I get a little tongue tied there. Okay.
Yeah. And if you pull down any package right now, like I'm always pulling down other people's code at the moment.
Okay.
Across the whole Angular community, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be an Angular CLI build, and you know exactly where everything is and how it's laid out and how to run it, how to build it, how to test it, because everyone's doing very similar things in that space.
Okay. Which is good, right?
Yeah, which is fantastic. Because in Angular 1, we had people doing kind of different ways of doing everything, which was great. We want flexibility, and there's flexibility in the new Angular, but there's a lot more kind of community doing similar things, if that makes sense.
Got it.
So out of the box, we get this structure here, and a lot of this kind of is just config for your build system, for your unit testing out of the box, end-to-end testing out of the box, and you get a whole build pipeline. And then inside of the source folder here, we have our app folder, which is where you write your own custom logic, and you get a single component ready to go.
Okay, which is the main component.
Which is your main component.
Okay.
And it's everything in Angular needs to be, there needs to be at least one Angular module. So out of the box you get an app.module here, which is your Angular module. So don't worry about looking at the code on that, but basically this Angular module glues together the app and says, these are kind of like my global dependencies for my application, but you can have multiple modules if you wanted to.
This would be the entry point.
The entry point, absolutely.
Okay, okay. Yep. And so the first thing that's loaded up, the first thing that's run is this app module.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can have multiple modules that do different things.
Yeah, which is encouraged, because if you want to do the code splitting, you would make a module, and that kind of is priming you to be able to then say, this module is going to be lazy loaded into the browser.
Okay.
Yeah. So the modules become a big thing, and they help with testing and saving all your import and export statements, because you have to, as you see in this file, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 import statements. So if you didn't have a module where you can specify a bunch of dependencies for a section of code, you would have to do an import for everything you use in every file, which would be a lot of imports in a lot
right.
of files.
Okay.
So it saves on that.
So for each module, those things are declared for everything that's in that module.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it kind of saves on some of the boilerplate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is, there's going to be an app module in every application.
At least one.
Okay.
So it's fine if you just want to do one big module. It might become a bit hard to manage. But most people, what they'll do is they'll make a module for every feature they have in their application.
I see. And then you compose them somehow.
Yeah,
that's it. And then as you navigate around your application, so we'll generally see people have a home module, which will be very lightweight. So when you first navigate to the application, you'll get the home module. It won't download a lot of code. Then you go and you add your next feature. And if you add that in another module, then when you navigate to that feature, it's loading that module, and then it'll download the JavaScript for that module.
Yeah.
So the module really defines that code splitting boundary that it's going to do the lazy loading as you're going to navigate around your app.
Awesome. So we talked about modules.
Yep.
Let's talk about what a component is and how that fits into a module.
Okay. So as you can see here, you have a declarations array here. So you specify declarations to specify the components for this module. So in this case, we've only got a single app component here, but we would have an array of components for this section, and we can then use them anywhere inside of this module. But if we look at the basic structure of a component, you're seeing TypeScript here. So we need to import component from the Angular library. And then we have a bunch of metadata here that lets Angular know that this is an Angular component. Because all we've got here is a TypeScript class. Mm-hmm. So you write all of your business logic inside of these classes, and that's your component. And the logic inside of these classes is what drives your HTML templates.
And what is this? Is this a decorator, the add component thing?
It is. It's like an attribute. If you're a C-sharp developer, it's the same as a square brackets attribute that might sit on top of a C-sharp class. So it's just adding a little bit of metadata on top of our app component class.
So let's see if I remember this right, and you're going to help me out. But the selector tells you what HTML element it's supposed to inject this into.
Yeah, and CSS file. So we can see here, if I want to use this component on my HTML, that is the name of the HTML element that I'll use. So if we go over to index.html here, we will see that app root loaded here that we would be getting. So if we come back over to our component, then here's our app root. So this specifies how we actually place it into our HTML templates or onto our HTML main page.
And the template says this is the HTML template you're going to use. The style says this is the CSS you're going to use.
Absolutely.
Now here's the question. There's got to be this notion of global styles and local styles. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
So, do you want to take this one? Yeah. So in Angular, it's kind of something that everyone's getting used to. So if you've done Polymer, which is another library for doing web components, they have this idea of shadow DOM, or basically encapsulated CSS. So within a web component, you write CSS and it won't leak out against other CSS.
Oh, which is good, right?
It's really nice.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, because there's some weirdness. And CSS is, it's fun.
That's a good way of saying
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So what happens with Angular, whenever you write your CSS, so if we went to this app.component.css file, and I put in something like .css
Let's go to the screenshot here real quick, if that's okay.
If I did this, and I had my own custom CSS class that I can put CSS in, it will take this name, and it will kind of alias it to be unique for this component. And that way, it kind of namespaces it and makes it unique behind the scenes.
I did not know that.
So now you've got custom styling just for a component. If you want to say my border on the right of my box is 2 pixels thick, and I just want it to be to this component, then this will only be to this component.
And it won't leak into anything else because it will prepend it with something else.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It means you don't have a 1,000-line CSS file anymore. You just have CSS associated right next to each component.
Well, you don't in the project, but when it's bundling and minifying it, does it put it all into one?
It all works it out for you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. So I guess where all of this kind of can shine, though, talking about the CLI, is when you've got components and you're using a module loader and you're using Angular modules and you can declare like everything every part of your application needs, that means ahead of time you can go and compile your application and bundle it up and do all those things. And this has traditionally been a real pain in Angular 1. Like we would spend... I'll get days of kind of PBIs to write a build script for, you know, using Gulp or something like that, or Webpack. Whereas now, whenever we start a new project, we don't need to do that. We just use the CLI and we get a whole build chain out of the box. So we can do a one-liner in here. It will make us a distributable folder with just the tiniest amount of code that we need to run.
Well, let's see, because I've never deployed one of these things, right? I started making one. I made the Tour of Hero. What is that?
Tour of Heroes.
Yeah. Tour of Heroes. I made that thing. In fact, if you go to docs.angular.io or something.
Angular.io. You'll hit it straight away.
That's the thing I built. But I never got into sort of the build process.
Yep.
I want you to tell me what the pain was before so that I can understand. You're saying you it took a couple days to what it is now and why it's better.
Yep.
Before the CLI came out, because we were doing... So in the early days when we were doing Angular 2 with .NET Core, we had to build an 800-line gulp file that actually went through, and we were doing gulp to do our minification and bundling, and we were putting everything, moving everything around. So, you know, there was a lot of work. There was days of work involved in compiling our application down, because that project has, you know, when you do a NPM restore, has 48,000 files in it. So we had to do a lot of work to get it deployable.
And that's crazy, right? Because that's like the kind of code you write once, you're like, don't touch it.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. You touch it, you die.
Yeah. Well,
and you end up having one guy and he owns it. And that's his problem.
It's like you pick the guy you hate the most.
Yeah.
You're doing that, Jim, whether you like it or not. Because it's a horrible file, right?
Yeah.
And it's often usually the Crystal Reports guy, too. It's that same poor boy. It's got all the undesirable tasks in the office.
Yeah.
So that was something you did before. It was a gulp file or some Webpack config?
Well, nobody was winning before. We had gulp, everyone was using Gulp, and then Webpack came along and was, you know, bringing some advanced functionality for bundling.
And nobody says anything about Grunt anymore, which is so sad.
Yeah,
sad.
Poor Grunt.
But then there was JSPM and System.js, and no one was really winning in the landscape. And then the CLI came along, and it was kind of using a few different things, and then it moved to Webpack, and now Webpack 2's out. And it's kind of, that whole story is a lot easier for us. We went through all of those different build tools through the beginning of Angular. So
I'm just saying, there's a lot of stuff in the client side.
Yeah. We've got a very clear story now where it's, when you're getting started out, don't go and do the tour of heroes and try and put it together. Do the Angular CLI, start with the Angular CLI.
Yep. Okay.
And then there is a point at which for teams that need more customized build, and then at that point, you can actually go and use Webpack. But don't try and jump with, we advise people, don't try and jump in there at the beginning. Actually learn everything else. The Angular CLI is going to take you a long way. Yeah.
Well, now I feel like I want to see this magical CLI stuff to build. So let's go into that if you can.
Okay, so if we open up a terminal here at the bottom of the page, let's give ourselves a bit more room. And everything hangs off this ng command. So I could come in here and go ng build.
And you're in Visual Studio Code right now.
I'm in Visual Studio Code. And I like to use the terminal inside of here.
Of course,
when I'm in
the project. I do too.
Yeah, I find it easier. So I'm running ng build here. And this is just going to build our application for production. So at the moment when we run ng serve, it will serve the application. So if I run an ng serve, it's just going to do an in memory. It'll get everything ready. Nothing's kind of productionized and bundled up. But when we run ng build, it's going to actually go through and build this for production. And then we can pass in some optional flags. So I could say dash dash prod, which is a flag that will say, I want to build this for production. So drop all my source maps, go through and minify everything and crush it into the smallest size you can. So this is what we've been doing for a while. But more recently, we can pass in another flag, which is dash dash AOT, which is ahead of time compilation. So it will take your HTML templates that you write for each component, and it's going to pre-compile those from HTML with lots of Angular markup just into straight JavaScript, so it's super fast to run and doesn't need any compilation in the browser.
Because it's probably worth calling out that in Angular 1, how it worked is that actually you downloaded a 200K compiler into the browser and the HTML template, and the templates were compiled in the browser.
Oh, so that's a download issue with Perf? And that's a perf issue with perf.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I see. And so what this is doing is it's doing all that stuff when you're building it.
Before you deploy it.
I see. And then when you get the thing, it's going to be super tight and super fast.
Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely.
And it's also probably worth calling out that it's also tree shaking at this point.
Yeah.
Really?
So if you didn't use parts of the Angular library, say we haven't used any reactive forms, we haven't imported that into an Angular module, then when it goes through this, it's going to go through the Angular library and say, you don't need that, shake it out.
I see. And so this is what this will do. Does it automatically put it into a specific folder? What is it that it does?
Absolutely. So this will grab this and it'll put it into a folder called dist. So if we execute this, it's not the fastest on my little laptop here, but it's going to go through and do all the processing and bundling for us. And then at the end of this process, we'll get a single dist file that's just full of static assets. And then whatever web server you want to put it on, it's up to you.
Okay, so it's done.
So it's done.
Can we look what's in that folder?
Yep. So we could come up here and we have a dist file. And then we've got a couple of different bundles here. So we have got a vendor bundle, which is just for your third-party libraries. So it's bundled up a bundle for all of your JavaScript, which is like for third-party libraries, then your kind of JavaScript that you've written. So actually your business logic stuff.
So it's probably worth calling out that in this dist folder, there's 10 files.
Yeah.
And this is the output of those 48,000 files that we had before, all compiled into just what you need to deploy to your web server.
That's super amazing. Optimized. Yeah. That's optimized. And so you mentioned vendors.
Yeah.
Vendor file, there's vendor, polyfill, main. Can you tell us what those things are? I mean, I'd love to. Look, what happens is I started working on this stuff, and there's all this stuff just pooped out everywhere, and I don't even know what it is that it's doing, right?
Yeah.
So can you maybe tell me what those things are and why they're important?
Yeah, definitely. So we've got inline here. So we're going to, all of our inline kind of HTML templates are going to be in here.
Oh, I see. Those are the ahead of time compile.
Yep. And then we've got our main bundle, which will be all of our components and our JavaScript logic. And then we've got our polyfills because we're in a modern world of JavaScript. It's 2017, and we're going to be running in all browsers and running the latest language features. So we've got a couple of polyfills. And these are separated out because if you just put these all into one file, which is what used to happen with the CLI, then you, every time you have a change, you have to get that whole thing down again, that whole bundle. So now you don't need your vendors doesn't change, so you don't need to bring it down every time. But your code might change, and you can bring that down. So we've got all of these different things here that are kind of separated out into kind of a logical pieces.
And that's smart, because it's got like this crazy number to do cache busting on the way down when you're doing it. So we only have about five more minutes. We've gone ahead and we've looked at how to start an Angular project. We've talked about sort of the NG CLI tool that allows you to do a lot of the bundling, minification, ahead of time compilation. What are some suggestions you have for someone that wants to do one of these? Don't do Tour of Heroes, you said. Do we just play with the CLI?
No, I think the Tour of Heroes is a great way to go. I just think don't try and write your own build system for it. Learn a bit of CLI so you can get going, and then use it to do the Tour of Heroes.
I see.
Versus trying to write your own build system before you learn any of Angular, which is what used to happen, and people would spend 2 days getting frustrated and go, oh, I give up.
Yeah, that's this guy. This guy right here did that, yeah.
Or do the Tour of Heroes and follow the instructions, but the real one is when you go and start your first app that you want to use for work, use the Angular CLI.
Yeah.
Cool. So where can people go to find out more about you guys and your company and the stuff you do?
Yeah, you want to take that one?
Yeah, so SSW, come to ssw.com.au, and that's where we do all of our consulting. But we also do, if you're interested in Angular 2 training, we actually do Fire Bootcamp.
Okay.
And we have a lot of fun traveling around and doing workshops and one-day sessions. And there's we do an online training course, and we often have free modules and things.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Check out firebootcamp.com is probably, if you're interested in our Angular stuff, about the best places to go.
All right, and what do you have to say?
Yeah, I'd say come along, check out one of our 2-day courses. We are in Copenhagen next week.
Oh.
Yeah. And for an NDC mini conference.
Oh, fantastic.
And then we're running more workshops in Australia here, Brisbane, Sydney. So come check us out.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We are almost ready for a session. Coming up next, we have all you need to know about Office 365 Cloud PBX with Justin Morris, and then we'll come right back to us for day one wrap-up of Ignite Australia. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching. We'll see you after the breakout.